Hey, let me ask you a question. How many of you feel like jumping out of bed every morning? How many of you have ever just felt physically like you couldn't accomplish what needed to be accomplished that day? Anyone ever face financial challenges? And then we could ask a whole bunch of questions. But the reason I'm asking these questions is the fact that I want to talk to you about, say, let the weak say I'm strong. You know, now let's go see what the Apostle Paul had to say here. He wrote in his Philippian letter, in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm going to read several different translations because give us a little different view. The Amplified Classic Version says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. The Contemporary English says, Christ gives me strength to face anything. The Darby translation says, I have strength for all things in him that gives me power. The Phillips New Testament says, I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. The Disciples Literal translation says, I can do all things by means of the one who strengthens me. Living Bible, that's not the NLT, that's the old Living Bible. For I can do everything God asked me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. And lastly, the Message version, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. You know, sometimes we need to realize that these are not talking about just about spiritual, it's talking about physical also, because we can see that we are to have strength in every area of our lives. God gives us strength or in Christ, through Christ. These scriptures refer to being strong in the Lord. And mentally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, every way. And, you know, God wants us to be strong. You know, when we started Rhema Bible School, Dad said we was going to have one, and he told me to do it. And, you know, I had to be strong. Doug Jones was in that first graduating class. They didn't know it. The students didn't know it, but I came there every day without a penny in my pocket. I couldn't buy lunch. Some of them was the same way. But, you know, I was just strong in the Lord. I told Annette, I said, Rhema's going to go if I had to pawn everything I got, Rhema's going to go. And, you know, 43 years later, we have 237 campuses in 50 nations, but it didn't come because I was strong. We had to be strong in the Lord. You know, nobody didn't know I had lunch money, but you know, God always provided. I walk in and there'd be a $5 bill laying on my desk. I don't know who put it there, but praise God, somebody did. You know, you have to learn to be happy and satisfied in whatever area you're in at the moment. I didn't say you was going to enjoy it. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but we need to learn how to be happy and satisfied where we are at the moment as we're believing God to get us through that situation. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Okay. You know, let's look at the whole context of this Philippians 4. You know, we read 4:13, but let's look at the whole context. Going back up in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Let's read that in the Message Bible. Give us a little better understanding. I am glad in God, for far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you have ever quit praying and thinking about me. You've just had no chance to show it. Actually, I do not have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content in whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, or hands full or hands empty. You see, the believers here in Philippians or in Philippi were probably the Philippian church was one of the churches that supported Paul both with financial support and their prayers, and they kept encouraging him. But what Paul is saying here, he is saying there are times when I don't have enough, there are times when I have plenty, but he said, I have learned to be content in the Lord in either one of those situations. He's not praising God because he don't have enough, and he is praising God because he's got enough, but he's saying he's learned how to be content with believing God in any situation that he finds himself in. Can you understand what I'm saying to you? See, we need to learn to play. No matter what the circumstances are, God still supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. That's what he said there then in verse 19, if you go on reading the whole context of that fourth chapter. See, you need to keep in mind that God cares about you, and he's with you, and he will and can deliver you from every situation, whether you're in the plenty or whether you're in the like. You know, it doesn't change. Your faith doesn't change if you got enough or if you don't have enough. You learn to be content with God because God, and be strong in the Lord because you know the outcome. Hello. The question is, are we at, when we get in those bad times, are we exercising our faith? Whether you're in lack or in plenty. You know, Paul said here, it doesn't matter. I stay the same. You understand what I'm saying? You need to stay the same whether you're in lack or whether you're in plenty. Come on. You ever notice that it's hard to stay, it's hard to be content when you're in the lack. But Paul says you stay the same all the time. It's not a roller coaster ride. You're flat. I mean, hey, we just were out there in Dickinson, North Dakota, and we were driving to the airport, and that road was flat, and it stretched out there like a black ribbon for as far as you could see. Anybody from that part of the country? Those roads up there are straight as everything, and it's flat as everything. You know, somebody said they thought the state flower for North Dakota was a tumbleweed. I said, well, that's better than what we got here in Oklahoma. Ours is a parasite, a mistletoe, not even a flower. Well, that's what I read somewhere, that the state flower of Oklahoma was mistletoe, and that's not even a flower. It's a parasite that grows on a tree. Am I right or wrong? Oh man. See, we need to learn not to be moved by circumstances, by situations. We need only to be moved by what God says. In Acts 20:24, Paul said, none of these things move me, or do I count my life dear to myself, though I may so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And then in Acts 17:28, he said, for in him we live and move and have our being. See, here he has learned the secret of not having an up and down life, but to staying steady with his faith, staying steady with everything. I've learned in whatever state, condition, really, is what he's talking about. He's not talking about whether you're in the state of Oklahoma or the state of Texas or whatever state. He's not talking about a state. He's talking about a condition. I'm in to be content. Why can he be content in any condition he's at? Because he knows what the Word of God says. See, that's where you, and the enemy will fight you. He'll come to your mind. He'll begin to drive all kinds of thoughts into your mind, saying, telling you all the bad things to try to get you out of your state of faith and your state of contentment. All right? He said, I have learned. That means it didn't come natural. You have to take time to learn math, right? You just don't automatically see some figures there on a paper and, oh, that's whatever number is there, you know. You just don't automatically, is you learn it. How many understand what I'm saying? How many of you just got behind the wheel of a car and you automatically could drive? No, what? You learn to drive, right? You know what? You have to learn to throw a ball. It's something you learn. Now, and I'm not being disparaging, because, see, here, kids start learning to throw at a young age. In some of the other countries, they have trouble throwing because they started learning to kick a ball. And we can't kick a ball like they can. Now, some of you are learning that because but when I was growing up, nobody played soccer, nobody, but we threw a ball, see, and we have to learn to catch. It went right through your hands now, man. If it would have been a bad throw, it would have been my fault, but it went right through your hands. I'm an old wide receiver, so and I played center field in baseball, so you learn to catch. It's learned. You see, you learn to say, look, I am going to be content with God. I'm going to be strong in the Lord, whether I've got it or whether I don't have it. You understand? How many understand where I'm coming from with this? Come on now. See, too many times we sit around, you know, just hoping it'll get better. No, we don't sit around. We're content where we are because we're strong in the Lord, knowing that it's not going to be this way always. It's temporary. You know, some people get unhappy and discontented because they sense that God has something else for them. This is not all. Well, that's all right. Hey, but stay content where you are until God moves you to the next step. Don't get disenchanted with where you are at the moment. You ever notice that people do that? They begin to sense that there's more, God's got something more for them, and then they get disenchanted where they are. No, you stay content where you are until God puts you into the new place or moves or does whatever. Come on now. Somebody said, well, I'm just picking up something in my spirit. Well, okay, that's good. But be content with where you're at. No matter what stage you're at. You know, so many times dealing with ministers, I have to say, hey, stop and settle down. God is got to be content where you are until, even though you feel like there's a move coming, be content and do what you need to do right here where you're at until God puts you somewhere else. See, in the writings of Paul, actually, to be strong in the Lord, you have to understand the reality of being in Christ. Redemptive realities. You see, in Paul's writings, he's continually emphasizing who he is in Christ, what he had in Christ, and what he can do in Christ. You know, there's a fella that has my same name, or else I guess I'm named after him. Kenneth E. Hagin, and I'm Kenneth W. Hagin. But he said that he recommended reading these scriptures about Paul, the revelation that Paul had of who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ, because it will change your life. And he went as far to put it in a little book called In Him back there. Hello. See, Paul is not telling you to do something based on your ability and your strength. He is telling you to be strong based on Christ. You know, here, look at Ephesians 6:10. Look at Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally. Now he'd been talking to him, and now he finally means he's bringing it to, this is where it's at right here. When he said finally, this is the bottom line, in other words. You know, sometimes we talk and talk and talk, and finally we say, okay, this is the bottom line. That's what Paul's saying here. Even though he's talking about it, he said, okay, here it is. Here it is. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then again in 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, he's talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul faced great difficulties. You can read it if you read his writings. He faced great challenges. He faced persecution in every way, but he still says to be strong in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 in the Message says, he told me my grace is enough. It's all I need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began to appreciate the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accident, opposition, bad breaks, just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. In other words, the weaker that you die out to the natural and go to Christ, the stronger you become. Anybody getting anything out of this? Paul lived in the reality of being strong in the Lord, even when he was weak, physically and emotionally and mentally. He actually said he became stronger because he quit depending on his natural ability and started depending on Christ and his ability. In the natural, it looks like you're not going to make it. But in Christ, you got it made. You are strong. There's nothing that you cannot face. There's nothing that you won't make it through because of who you are in Christ. Not because of your strength, but because of his strength. You know, now the question comes, why are so many Christians seem to be weak. You know, some of them are barely getting along. Some of them are floundering around hopeless in their circumstances, just hoping the situation will get better. Some living in desperation. The answer to the question is can be found in the fact, are they making the right confession of who they are in Christ? You see, a lot of Christians are weak. This is because they never really dared confess what God's word says about them. They've never dared confess that they are what the Bible says they are, that they are who the Bible says they are, and that they have what the Bible says they have. Now, I'm reading that out of a book called In Him, written by Kenneth Hagin, not this Kenneth Hagin, my dad. Dad used to say that all the time, talking with him, and he would say, if people just could get a hold of the fact of who they are in Christ, they would be strong. But because they don't understand who they are, they're weak. Hello. In every area of your life, you have to understand who you are in that area in order to rule in that area. Hello. You know. Now, that Lieutenant Colonel retired over there, Steve Moran. Now, as he went through the ranks from just being a lieutenant and moving on up to being a colonel, in each one of those, he had to learn who he was and what was required of him and what he could do because of who he was. Right? See, we have to learn who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do because of Christ. You know, Pastor Denise, I don't know, she was probably five or six. And she come running down the hall one day, she's running to her pawpaw's office, and my dad, and she is running down the hall, and somebody probably didn't know who she was, I guess, I don't know, but they said, hey, little girl, you can't run in the hall. And she wheeled around. She's got too much of her dad in her. She's pretty like her mom, but she's geared more like me. And she wheeled around and said, do you know who I am? And turned around and took off running. Why? Because, hey, I'm Denise Hagin, and my pawpaw is office out there, and he's the head of all this, and because of who I am, I can run if I want to. That's what she was actually saying. See, we need to get the same attitude when the enemy comes up and starts saying and throwing stuff at us. We need to get the same attitude and say, hey, do you know who I am? See, that's being strong in who you are. You see. Now look at Joel 3:9-10 for just a moment. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Here the prophet instruct God's people to prepare for war, but if any of them felt weak or unqualified, they were to say, I'm strong. Excuse me. You know, something happens when you begin to talk about, I am strong in Christ. Something happens when you begin to say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. When you begin to say and quote those in him scriptures about yourself, put your name in there. Say, whatever your name is. My name is Kenneth. Kenneth is strong in the Lord. Come on. You know, it'll build you up. You know, in sports, they tell you, you got to think you can and believe you can before you can. Now, if you go up to the batter's box and you get in your stance, they know you see him getting up there if you don't think you can hit the ball. You know, I played a lot of fast pitch softball. In fact, I played it until they quit having fast pitch. I started playing it when I was 16. Now, men's fast pitch, if you got a good fastball pitcher, it's coming at you at about 100 miles an hour. It's like those guys that can throw that in a baseball. How many, any of you guys ever played men's fast pitch softball? Am I not right? It comes. In fact, sometimes you can hear the ball as it comes by. We in the dugout, and one guy, he got his bat. He's going to say, "Well, I'll go up there, but I can't hit him anyway. I'll just go up there." Hey, they might as well just mark the out down right there and let him sit down and go the next batter. Because he went up there not going to hit. I can't hit him anyway. See, I never stepped on a field or a court that I didn't believe that I could do it. There's no use doing it if you don't believe you can do it. See, there's no use mealy-mouthing around. You got to say, "I'm strong in the Lord." Now, anybody ever read F.F. Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer? It's a great book. If you have never read it, I realize it was written a long time ago, but man, it has got some spiritual nuggets in there. He said this: "A spiritual law that few recognize is that our confessions rule us. It is what we confess with our lips that really dominate our inner being. Make your lips do their duty. Refuse to allow them to destroy the effectiveness of God's word in your case." In other words, continue to say, "I am strong in the Lord." Paul tells us that. If you really believe what the Bible says about you, then you begin to say it about yourself. See, we need to realize that confession builds the road over which faith hauls its cargo. You'll never enjoy the riches of grace until you confess them. Come on now. That's E.W. Kenyon's book, The Power of Your Words, page 16, if you don't know where it is. All right. God wants us to get something to us, but he is limited by what we're saying. I mean, we got a shield up there that says faith. Most of you, how many of you can quote without even reading Mark 11:23? That's the majority of this congregation. I think the rest of you can. You just didn't want to raise your hand. You know, yeah. All the time, ministers ask questions, and about half the congregation raise their hand. You know that some of the rest of them know it too. But it's like the man at the church that is voting on something, and all of them voted yes, except this one man. And the pastor said, "Well, listen, how come you're not for this?" "Oh," he said, "I'm for it. I just didn't want it to be 100%. He wasn't against it, but he just didn't want to raise his hand. That may be like some of you. But it keeps talking about say, right? Yes. Say to the mountain. Yes. Believe in your heart, and you get what you say. See, we need to get a hold of the fact that we need to continually confess who we are in Christ. And that the grace of God is inside of us. The grace of God is protecting us, providing us, and keeping us where we are and who we are and what we're doing. Amen? See, God wants to get some things to us, but he is limited by what we say. Now, I want everybody to stand up. I'm going to close this down, but we're going to make a confession. We're going to confess something. I want you to get your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, if you got it on your phone or your iPad, hold that up. Hold it up. All right. Say this. This is my Bible.
It's the word of God to me.
I am who it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I am strong in the Lord.
I can do all things
through Christ
who strengthens me.
When I feel weak,
I'm strong in Christ.
When I'm weak,
I declare I'm strong.
I am happy
and content
where I am
because I know
God is working in my life.
He's performing His promises
in my situation.
I am strong
in the knowledge
of God's provision
for me.
I rejoice in the Lord
because He does all things
for me.
God is moving in my life
because I confess His word.
It enables Him to perform His word in my life.
I am strong in Christ.
I am strong in Christ.
I'm an overcomer in Christ.
I cannot be defeated in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Raise your hands and thank God for who you are in Christ
and because of what you have in Christ
and what you can do in Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you got something?
I've got something. My God is more than enough. He does supply all my needs. He is the El Shaddai. He always looks out for me.
The enemy is going to try to tell you that you can't. But you have to tell him, I can because I'm strong in the Lord. I can because I'm strong in the Lord.
Hello?
I can do all things.
It didn't say spiritual things. There's no qualification. It's all things.
Spiritual, natural, whatever. It's there.
I can do all things through Christ who is my strength.
Hallelujah. You kids that are going to school and you college students, when you go into class and they throw something at you and your mind immediately says, I don't think I can do that. You need to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He will help me. Amen. You can do it. You can do it. Amen. Hey, bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. If you happen to be in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, you know you're not exactly where you should be with Christ, I want to pray with you and for you. Anybody, anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the auditorium, you need Christ, you need to rededicate yourself to God today. Let me see your hands. Anybody, anywhere? I got bright lights in my face, so I'll try to see you. Ushers, if you'll help me, it'll be a great help. Hallelujah. Any hands, anywhere? I don't see any hands. Father, if there happened to be one in this place that needs you, I thank you that you would minister, go with them until, and have somebody minister to them. May they not be satisfied until they can stop and confess you as Lord of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you happen to be watching, the Lord just dealt with me. If you happen to be watching right there and you're watching on that, on the Facebook Live or the live stream internet, and you don't know Jesus or you need to rededicate your life, I'm going to lead you in a short prayer. And you in the congregation, you can say it with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my sins. I thank you now that your holy word said that if I would believe that in my heart and confess that with my mouth, I will be saved. I thank you now that I'm confessing with my mouth and I'm believing in my heart, and now I'm a new person in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you happen to pray that prayer for rededication or for the first time, if you'll contact them, there's stuff there on the screen. If you'll contact that, we'll be glad to send you some stuff and help you get started living your life for Christ or back on for Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. You know, I don't know about you, but I enjoyed this morning. I helped myself this morning. Amen. Glory to God. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it, because you can, because of who you are in Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hey, connection team, go find those first time guests and take them to that special place to get that special, special gift that we prepared for them. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for a church home, while we say church, welcome home. Staff, y'all can go to the doors. They just flashed on the screen there. We had 1,614 on the Rhema.tv. And on that, I don't know how many of them stayed and watched the whole service, but during the Facebook Live time, over 5,000 viewers tuned in, at least for a portion of it. Many of them watched the whole thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right here, 6 o'clock tonight, be here. On Wednesday night is the Hour of Power, 7 to 8, Hour of Power. We'll be here. I'll be here ministering. Come believing. Come expecting. Praise God. If you want to know where all of the pastors are, every Sunday we go, we rotate the lobbies. There's four lobbies. We rotate them. I'm on the south lobby today. So that's where we are. You can read it on the screen there. If you want to see any of the pastors, that's where we'll be. Hallelujah. We sing a chorus around here to dismiss and let me get off the platform and get to my door, and then they'll dismiss you. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6. Hey, don't forget about Miss Hagan saying we needed help with the children's area. Go back over there and sign up. Remember everything else and sign up. God bless.
We lift you.